Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Yeah, I went to a drinking school with a Catholic problem.
Really? You guys aren't joking, is there? Anytime they say anything weird, it's usually pretty true.
Maybe we should use that in the podcast, though.
It's the magic of editing, don't worry, man.
All right.
Hello, listeners. I'm JP, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action sports, and subculture. On this week's show, we'll be discussing local music with our editorial staff. Let's start things off with local band Danny Lion, comprised of Daniel Fisher on production with Lauren Hoyt on vocals. They're a folk indie pop rock band from Salt Lake City who recently released their debut album, Danny in the Clouds. Here's Light from Yesterday from that release. What did you think about that song, Ricky?
I really like that song, actually. They play it a lot on KRCL, and that's where I first heard it. And I really like the horn section, probably because I grew up loving ska and being nerdy and all that kind of stuff. But I really like the sax and the trumpet, and Dave Payne actually plays the flute and the sax on that Danny in the Clouds EP.
Yeah, Dave Payne, local hero, was in Red Benny's. That's kind of his flagship band. Also does a label called Rest 30. But I was surprised to hear him play flute on that as well. I had no idea that he played flute.
It's just such a happy song. And I was actually really surprised that I also liked the horn section because I hate ska. But I think it fits really well, and I think the production's really good. And I love Lauren's voice.
It kind of reminds me of something that you'd see in like a Diablo Cody movie. Because it's just like very upbeat.
But the lyrics aren't. When you listen to the lyrics, they're kind of sad and depressing, which I think is a great contrast.
I like songs like that, though.
But I mean, I do too. But I mean, I think it's great how the music has contrasted the lyrics, how the music's bright and sad. And, like, it makes me think of a sunny day. And then I listen to those words, and it's a cloudy day. It's partial cloudy.
Standing in the clouds.
It's very catchy. It's a good, catchy song.
Have you guys ever heard the Rock Musicians or Fish Loops or Julio Child work that Fish has done before?
A little bit, and I think that's one of the things that is really cool about this track is it's, at least to me, it has a very different feel and it sounds very different from all of that other work. And I like that about it.
I agree. Fish is kind of normally associated with local hip hop, and so to hear this, it's very different from what we would normally associate his name with.
You can download that album at dannylion.bandcamp.com. If you're wondering how you spell Danny Lion, it's D-A-N-I-L-I-O-N. Stephen Shy and the No Nation Orchestra is an Afrobeat Latin soul world band from Salt Lake, comprised of Stephen Shy, Josh Dixon, Mike Sasich, and Weston Woolley. This is their debut EP, and their release show is on September 23rd. This is their song, Oh Now Baby, from their debut EP, More, More, More. sound, Jeanette, you want to start us off?
With members like Stephen Chai and Mike Sasich, who are in, have been in tons of local projects. I mean, pretty much anything they put out is pretty rad. I'd say this song fits right into that. I like the horns in it.
I really like the kind of syncopated feel to it. Like you said, JP, it's got an Afrobeat kind of sound. I think that's really cool. It's something that isn't really that prominent in our local scene right now. They were really good at Craft Lake City, which was their first show. I only caught a little bit of their set, but it was pretty amazing to see them creating that kind of music live.
It's very like funky too.
Yeah, I really like the soul influence. It's just like a very sexy song and something that you can get down to.
It is. In fact, this song was originally submitted to participate in Slug's Death by Salt compilation series. I believe Stephen Chai submitted this in 2006 to be part of our Death by Salt 2. And at the time, I loved this song, and one of our judges on the panel loved this song too, and we would sometimes just call each other up and play it like on the phone as a joke. because this one judging night, we'd had a couple beers and turned it up really loud and like danced around to it in the office. But we really had this affinity for this track, but we couldn't fit it on because just space restrictions, and some of the other judges didn't like this track. And so that's when I heard this the song first. Of course, this is years before Project the No Nation Orchestra, so I was so stoked to hear him resurrect this song with this all-star band and make release it himself.
On that initial track that you heard, did he have such a big backing band, or was it like a more minimalistic version?
No, it was all him. It was just a Stephen Chai track. And that was the other thing about it, is that's when I first kind of, I always realized he was a horn player and played saxophone in a bunch of different local bands, but that's when I was first like, oh, Stephen Chai, make a mental note of who this man is. And again, that was what was so exciting to see him play with No Nation Orchestra, was because he wasn't playing, he was just the vocalist, and he was leading, how many band members were in that No Nation Orchestra? Like at least 10 plus.
When they were on stage at Craft Lake City, there was a ton of people on stage.
Two backing singers, and it was great just to see him up there as the maestro, organizing all of those musicians and singing, and that was it. And doing a little dancing too, he's a good dancer.
Who here has heard the EP in its entirety? Anybody? Just you, Angela? How does this fit into the rest of the EP?
It fits in. Actually, I would say some of the other tracks on the EP are more funkier and have much more of that Afrobeat sound to it. This is probably the pop single of the EP.
Where did you imagine yourself when you heard this song, Ricky? Was it on the casino level playing Sonic the Hedgehog? No, I'm just joking.
Yeah. To me, actually, to add to that, to me, it feels like a song that you'd see in like a David Lynch movie. Like that's the song that would be playing when you're like in a David Lynch movie and like there's something nasty and seedy going on, and like, I don't know. To me, that's what it reminds me of.
Or some creepy midget.
Yeah.
Speaking gibberish.
I think David Lynch would really like that song.
Little person.
I'm much more familiar with Sonic the Hedgehog than with David Lynch, but it reminded me of the casino levels in Sonic the Hedgehog, which I think is a good thing. I'm not sure how they would take it, but you know, it's got, like you guys were saying, it's seedy, but it's also fun.
Hunter S. Thompson might like it too.
But he's dead.
He might have liked it.
Maybe he's enjoying it from purgatory.
Great Beyond. Hunter S. Thompson didn't go to hell, we all know that. He got shot into space in a rocket, didn't he?
In Catholic school, they teach us if you kill yourself, you automatically go to hell. So he's in hell.
Poor Hunter S. Thompson. Because everything they teach in Catholic school is legit, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. You can check out more tracks at nonationorchestra.com, and you can even buy the album there as well. Okay Ikumi is the project of local artist Carl Jorgensen. His album 1210 was Carl's attempt to record a new song every day for the month of December 2010. It's his sixth solo release. This cover song is called A.N.E. from that album.
I was 21 years when I wrote this song. Put you on the pedestal, they put you on the pillow. I don't feel bad about it.
That was originally a cover song, Angela. Can you give us more information about that?
Yeah, it was originally written and performed by Billy Bragg, who's a British protest singer. You know, what I really like about this cover, to me it encapsulates what the true definition of a cover should be, which is to take a song that you love and make it your own. And I think they really did a great job with this. It sounds completely different than the Billy Bragg version. You know, what we kind of mentioned when we were listening to it in the break here about how it sounds a little bit video game-ish.
Yeah, and there's actually a reason for that. I guess that this is also called chip music, which is defined by the technology you use, like the computer software and stuff like that that you use to make it. And I think this whole album was made with a Nintendo DS or something like that. So he actually used a Nintendo, so that's probably what it sounds like.
It's great.
Nintendo. It's also known as 8-bit, right? Same philosophy.
Chiptune 8-bit music, which is actually, there's a pretty big fan base for it. It's mostly nerds, as you might imagine. But I really like this version of this song. I really like the Billy Bragg version. It's one of my favorite songs. And the cool thing, like Angela was saying, is it's so different from the Billy Bragg version. And since his songs are so simple, and it's just like him and a guitar, it kind of puts the focus on the lyrics. And the lyrics for the song are really great. And they kind of took those great lyrics and put a totally different spin on the sound. And I think it really sounds very good.
I mean, I like it. It's a lot different than a lot of stuff I listen to, typically. It sounds sparkly, I guess. It has a sparkly sound.
It's been defined as lo-fi electro. Do you think that's an accurate genre depiction of this?
I'd maybe throw a lo-fi sparkly electro. It's something that I imagine lots of pretty lights with it while it's being played.
Not the DJ pretty lights?
No, not the DJ pretty lights.
That's an interesting...
Actual lights that are pretty.
That's an interesting concept, because when we hear music, it's a sensory thing. It sometimes attaches us to when we first heard the song, or it brings up certain images that we have. Now, you came across it as a cover, Angela, and then you heard it again. Did it resonate the same way both times, or was it a little different?
You know, it's funny. The first time, I didn't realize all the way through that it was a cover, probably because I was multitasking and wasn't thoroughly listening to it. But once we did realize it was a cover, it was cool to hear it in that different ear. But I really like, going back to what Jeanette said, I really like the fact that this track made her, like, see it with her eyes, see it audibly. I think that's pretty cool, and that's a good sign of a good musician.
It's actually something cool, knowing what the Billy Bragg original sounds like and comparing it to this. It has a very different feeling. I think you wouldn't associate the things I associate with this song. I would never associate those same things with a Billy Bragg song, because it doesn't make you feel that way. It's different music. It has a totally different vibe.
You were nodding your head when I mentioned that music can make you think of certain things. Did you have that relationship with this song when you heard it?
Yeah, like I said during the break, this song, the part of this song that resonates the most with me from the Billy Bragg version is, there's a line where he basically says that he's sad that all the girls that he has crushes on are having babies. And like when I heard this song, that was kind of happening to me, which was really weird. But so like when I think of this song, I imagine Billy Bragg standing sadly on the street corner in the snow as a girl pushes a baby carriage past him.
It's a really cool visual. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have that too.
In the late 70s.
Yeah. But this version, like, I don't know. I imagine, you know, maybe some snow, but it looks like an old Nintendo game. Maybe Billy Bragg is a crappy looking sprite in a video game watching a crappy looking stroller go by him.
I like that he's a sprite.
Yeah. That's the term for a video game character.
Right. No, I know.
Not like a fairy. Billy Bragg is all man, JP.
Okay, good. Good to know. Speaking of all men and women, it's a female singer. Does that change the dynamic for you guys too, versus a guy?
I was kind of saying it gives it a different vibe. Billy Bragg has a very distinct voice. You can hear something right away and know that it's a Billy Bragg song just because of how his voice sounds. And so hearing it with this female singer, it's less intense sounding, I guess.
And his accent is really intense when he sings. She doesn't really do that.
No. This, to me, this is almost like it feels more lighthearted than anything that he ever does, because everything he does is really intense and powerful. And it's a lighthearted version of a song.
Yeah, I think that's awesome, and that's what makes covers so potent sometimes, because people can reinterpret them and we can all get a new experience from hearing that song, and also hopefully introduce people to Billy Bragg and his music as well as putting a new spin on it. You can listen to and buy the album by going to okikumi.com. That's okikumi www.thepainlessbeat.com. It's time for the events section, guys. Do you think we can all tackle this together?
Yes.
It may be a little difficult, but I'll start things off for us. Wednesday, September 27th, Erasure is going to be at Kingsbury. Some people may say Erasure. I do the British Erasure.
You know, I used to own their cassette single, Chains of Love. I bought it at Raspberry Records for, I think, 99 cents when I was junior high school. No, elementary school. Yeah, Chains of Love.
It's coming back. So you're going to the show then?
Oh, hell no. No, Erasure was ruined. Was ruined for me. Well, actually, I kind of fell out of that pop new wave music when I got into junior high school and started getting into punk and goth music. But it was officially ruined for me when I worked at a record store called Modified. And one of our writers, Dean Hillis, was my manager. You'll still hear me affectionately calling him Manager Dean sometimes. He and he knows this, but he ruined Erasure forever for me.
He played too much?
Every day, every single day.
I mean, Chains of Love is a great song, but you can't hear it.
You can actually, on our website right now, he recently did, was it?
He did a review.
Oh, he did a review.
The first review published in the world of their most recent record.
A Slug exclusive, that's awesome.
Yeah. And it's longer than most of our CD reviews. So he goes, if you're a fan, you should read it.
If you're looking for some deep Erasure knowledge, Dean will deliver for you.
It runs so deep.
And that same day, there's another awesome event happening in town. Does anybody want to talk about that? So I'm not familiar with this.
Our daily calendar coordinator, Kia McGinnis, is celebrating her birthday. So happy birthday, Kia.
As is appropriate for our daily calendar section, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Giving
her a shout out. Do you want to give her that happy birthday so we could hear it there?
Happy birthday.
Great enthusiasm. As usual.
Yeah, for those of you that read the daily calendar and you're like, who are these people they give birthday shout-outs to every month, it's our affiliates. If you're a Slug contributor, intern, writer, photographer, whatever, if you're affiliated with us, we'll give you a shout-out on your birthday.
Kia Rules, I think she might be our youngest staff member. This is her 19th birthday.
Oh, she's only 19.
Yeah, but she's a lot of fun to have in the office. She enjoys poetry and Dragon Ball Z, which I think is pretty cool.
She's a smart 19 girl too.
She's sassy too.
She has a bulldog.
We should have her bring the bulldog in.
I told her that, bring your dog in.
Is it an English bulldog?
Yeah.
Oh, I love those.
Speaking of pets and owners, there's no good segue. There's another birthday the next day. On Thursday, September 29th, happy birthday, Michelle Stark.
Michelle Stark also has a dog.
Wow, there you go. Bringing it back. I wonder if she has an English bulldog. And Friday, September 30th, Spell Talk is going to be having their CD release show at Urban Lounge. What's the name of that album, by the way, Jeanette?
The album is called Touch It, and it is all brand new material, a lot more upbeat than some of their earlier work.
What do you think the name is? What do you think is their inspiration for the name is?
What are they touching?
I don't know. I'm touching it.
It reminds me kind of of Smell the Glove. Spinal Tap.
It's so much better though. It's really good message in the office.
I'm just saying the title. You know I love you guys. I'm not
and it was actually
you to Spinal Tap.
It was recorded by Terrence, DH.
Over at Counterpoint.
Over at Counterpoint in like amazing state-of-the-art studio. Sounds really good. The production on it is awesome.
Do you know what's cool though about that? And granted, we've only listened to it in here in the office once or twice all the way through, but even though it was recorded at a state-of-the-art studio, it didn't sound overproduced.
Mm-hmm.
It still kind of had that live feeling about Spell Talk, which is really what I love about their other previous two recordings. It's kind of that live feel to it. It sounds like they're jamming in your front room, you know.
It should be a really fun show. And Max Payne and the Groovies are opening, another awesome local band played Slug's anniversary party. Ooh, and Dark Seas, who's also a newer band, but really awesome. Made up of pretty young guys, but have great, fun live shows.
Wait, yeah. Are they pretty young, or are they pretty, comma, young?
They're pretty and young.
Good.
They're pretty young boys, JP.
I will be at that show. And we saw them play at Craft Lake City, and that was the first time I saw them. They did a really good job. So that is probably one of the best bills that you'll see in September, a great way to end out the month. And the next day is Saturday, October 1st, featuring Wolves in the Throne Room. We mentioned this on our last podcast. They'll be playing at the Utah Arts Alliance. They're kind of a metal band. I guess you'd say they're very metal.
Wolves in the Throne Room are a black metal band from Washington, but they're kind of an atypical black metal band. They're not so much into the corpse paint or the killing or the burning down churches, but they're more into the earth. And their songs have kind of a more atmospheric feel, more of an earthy feel, and they're really
if you pay attention to their songs, they're about forests and how awesome forests are and how mankind is fucking them up.
Would a band like Wolves in the Throne Room fit into that genre of girlfriend metal? Where it's metal that your girlfriend likes?
They're called, a lot of people...
Ooh, I'd say that for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely see that. A lot of chicks are fans. You'll see a lot of chicks at their shows.
Yeah, for sure. They're kind of, they have a pretty wide appeal. Like, you aren't going to see people with...
corpse paint.
Yeah, corpse paint or homemade battle axes or anything there. You're going to see people with their girlfriends and some more hipstery looking dudes. But it should be a really good show. I'm excited to see them. And they're playing at the Utah Arts Alliance because they're trying to play at some more non-traditional venues because the music industry kind of takes away from the actual music and they're trying to give it more of a community kind of feel, and that's why they're booking these cool shows at cool venues across the country.
Well, and it's great that they've got a following now where they can do that, because that's such a great concept, but you can't do that unless you're someone like Wolves in the Throne Room, who tour incessantly. I mean, they've been through our market at least 6 times, I would say. How many records do they have out? 4,
this is
5?
Their 4th record.
What about the fact that they were going to do shows in forests? Can you elaborate on that?
They have done that before, and they were planning on... They are doing that in a few places.
Which
on
places?
Their current tour. I'm not sure which ones are the exact dates, but like they're playing in an art gallery here. They're playing in forests in some places. They're playing in other DIY kind of spaces, which is really a cool idea. Oh.
So they're going to be playing with a couple of local metal bands too, right?
They're playing with Eagle Twin, who are amazing live. I saw them a few months ago at Kilby Court, and they destroyed my ears and brain and heart and soul and knees.
Yeah, they tend to melt faces on a regular basis.
And Ninth Zealot is going to be there too. They joined us for a localized a few months ago. Should be a really, really awesome show. You can already tell. Got a lot of Wolves in the Throne Room fans here. And Sunday, October 2nd, the final Salty Streets Flea Market of the season at Kilby Court, featuring Holy Water Buffalo. Are you guys going to go to that?
Absolutely.
Yes, for sure.
Probably you can not. Find the best deals at Salty Streets. It's the only... last one that I went to, I got a pair of amazing shoes for
$3. $3 shoes. I'm going to go solely for Holy Water Buffalo.
And it's only $2 to get in, and the show is inside of the Kilby Court venue. If you've never been to Kilby Court, that's reason enough to go to the flea market on Sunday, October 2nd. I think you guys did a great job on this events thing. We should do more roundtables all the time that last 30 to 40 minutes.
That was like 20 to 30.
Pretty Worms is made up of Eli Morrison on bass, previously of the band The Wolves and Pink Lightning, Scott Toxic on keyboard of Electric Pubes and Godstar, and Trisha McBride on vocals. They recently released 3 7-inch splits, one with the Plastic Furs, one with Black Hole, and one by themselves. This song is called Killers Galore from the 7-inch split with Black Hole.
Thank you.
Jeanette, what were your thoughts on that song?
Pretty much anything Eli does, in my opinion, is golden. Every project he's ever been involved with, pretty much everything he releases on his record label is all great. Also, love Scott Toxic. His bands are always really fun. The Electric Pubes, Godstar Experience, and I'd say Pretty Worms is just, it's right up the same alley. Earlier, a few months ago, we actually played the single Acid on the podcast, and I love that song. I think it's great. I think this Killers Galore song, it has kind of a psychedelic feeling. It's kind of weird and out there, experimental, but grounded in really good rock and roll.
Yeah, I was thinking that it sounds like the trip out moment scene in a movie. That's what comes to mind when I listen to it. And I think that a lot of it is Scott's keyboard in the back. It's just that like really weird sound.
And it has samples, like a space too. Has like a space sound kind of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he uses a lot of samples and manufactures his own noises and sometimes mixes the two together to distort them. And he's really talented at doing that layering. And it's subtle, but it's kind of cool.
I like how the bass in the background kind of holds everything together with, like you guys were saying, that crazy keyboard sound, and the vocals are pretty chaotic sounding too, but the bass through the background is constant and thuds, and it kind of, I think, is a good kind of glue for the rest of what's going on.
Well, and it's cool too because the B-side, because this is a split 7-inch, right? So Black Hole is the other band, and they're a pure bass band too. Two bassists, no guitar. That's kind of cool because Pretty Worms as well, no guitar in this band, which also is interesting because Eli Morrison is kind of known for being a lead guitar player, and here is him playing bass for the very first time at what, age 37? it's kind of cool. It's always neat to see local musicians pushing themselves for no other reason than because it's cool or because they want to try something new or do something creatively.
These 7-inches are actually really cool too. They all have kind of something unique about them to make them a little bit more of a collector's item, I guess. Like, I know on one of them, I can't remember which one, but it actually plays backwards. And so you start from the middle of the 7-inch and it moves outwards instead of starting from the edge and it moving inwards. So just, I don't know, I like...
Which is total nerd alert because you have to have a special turntable in order to do that. like the Slug one can't do that. I mean, you have to have a really professional grade quality turntable.
I like that about it though, because it's just like this, it turns it into a weird collector's item. It's more like art than
exactly
anything else.
It's totally a Scott Toxic thing to do.
Totally. And I'm sure probably, do they perform in outfits? Do they have costumes?
They do, and Trisha McBride, the lead singer, makes those outfits. And another neat thing about this band is her. She's the front woman, and this is the first band where she's just led on lead vocal and carried a band.
I love her vocals. I guess I'm biased. I love things that have female vocalists, but she has a very cool voice. It adds something really cool.
A very cool, like, unbridled, untrained voice too.
Yeah.
You know, just, she's gonna sing. And she never has
before.
It feels
kind of punk rock. Like, mm-hmm. It feels just sort of like, well, I'm just gonna do this and see what happens.
You guys sound like you really like that Pretty Worm song. I'm imagining you'll want to catch them at our next Localize November 18th with Dark Seas and the Rose Phantom. Can we get it for sure? You guys are coming to that, right?
I'll be there.
I designed a poster for it.
I'll be writing the article that appears in the magazine. Really excited.
I'll be drinking.
I'll be reading that article.
You'll probably be editing that article.
And posting that article online.
Dwellers recently recorded their first EP while waiting to record their upcoming LP for Small Stone Records. They're a self-described gut rock band from Salt Lake City, with members Joey Toscano, Dave Jones, and Zach Hatzis. Here's their song, Theme 3, from their EP, Peace and Other Horrors. Thank you.
So I think it's time to pack our stuff.
You seem to really like that song, Ricky. What did you enjoy about it?
I really like it because it's not really what you would expect from these guys. Like, Joey was in Iota, and Dave and Zach were both in Sabrosa and in a few other metal bands. And this is more of like a spooky desert western kind of track. And I just think it sounds really cool. I really like the minimalist sound of it, the echoes, the weird faucet dripping in the background, like it's really slow burning and the drums don't even show up until the song is about halfway over.
Yeah, it's kind of like I could hear it in a Coen Brothers film.
Yeah, I think it's a total soundtrack type of song. Like we were talking about how music can make you see images. There's a lot of stuff going on here that I think that is probably across the board what people are seeing. Desert scene. I immediately thought of Rango.
Rango?
I think it's really cool because to me it feels like I'm not super familiar with a lot of things that Joey's been in, but Dave Jones and Zach, it shows that they're very versatile musicians. They're very talented. The fact that someone like Dave, who's in Old Timer, who's stoner rock, and he was in Sabrosa, that he can just kind of switch and do something totally, that sounds totally different, has a totally different feeling. And it's awesome.
It does showcase their craftsmanship. I mean, to be able to switch genres like that and also to play real slow, calculated music like this, it's something that you can't just do, you know. I mean, you've really got to have the experience of playing different genres in order to do that well. And I think they really, they pull it off.
You can listen to the whole album and download it for free on dwellers.bandcamp.com if you guys are interested. I know I want to hear more than just that one song. From Peace and Other Horrors. The long-running band Sub Rosa was founded in 2005 by Rebecca Vernon. It's a self-described ancient magical doom band. From Sub Rosa's third release, No Help for the Mighty Ones, this is Borrowed Time, Borrowed Eyes.
Heads on spikes. did you like about that track, Angela?
I love this track. I love the entire record. It's just, it's got so much emotion into it. I mean, from the lyrics or the vocal delivery to the whole mood of the song and that beautiful violin played by Kim and also by Sarah. It's just, it's beautiful. It's but at the same time, it's tough. It's a very thought-provoking track. I really like it a lot.
One thing I kind of going with that, I love how the beauty of it and things like the violin are kind of juxtaposed against like a heavier sound. I don't know, those are two things that you'd think wouldn't go together, but they're a perfect fit. It's really awesome.
Yeah, I really like that all the songs of this album really thick, really heavy with the drums and the bass. And the violins, I don't even think sound like violins, but they kind of slice through all of that weight that's on the rest of the music. And I think that's just one of the things that makes this whole album great, and especially this song. And this song is actually based on the Cormac McCarthy novel, The Road. And you can hear in the lyrics that it kind of references the unnamed protagonist's journey with his young son in a post-apocalyptic world. And it's just a cool little extra fact to know if you're familiar with that novel and movie, and it just kind of adds a little extra to that already great song.
It's really cool too because Rebecca and I have been longtime friends. She actually was the second associate editor for Slug Magazine after I took over, and when she was writing this song and reading that book, we had these great conversations about it, and in fact, she let me borrow her copy. No. She was going to let me borrow a copy, but then I ended up checking out from the library. So I read it right after she did, and then the film came out a little bit while after. And so it's kind of neat to be an insider friend of Rebecca and to hear the song that came out of that time period.
This was my first taste of Sabrosa, and you guys always talk about them, and I hadn't really heard them until we started playing this track in the office, and I always was really excited when it would come on because, yeah, there's just something that, like, I would listen to the song, and it's like when you're listening to music and you just know it's good. That's how I felt with this, and I love the vocals on it especially. They're just so harsh. Have a lot of emotion, like you said.
And another neat thing about this band in particular, not necessarily the song, but Rebecca was never a front woman of a band, never sang for anyone really except for in church. And so to see her step up and grab lead guitar, teach herself that, I mean, take from also some local musicians here in town, but just to kind of take over that role and embrace it and be this front woman in this powerhouse in the metal scene internationally. It's been pretty cool.
She's a great front woman too. And she has great energy on stage. It's really fun to watch her perform. And I think it's something where younger people, like younger bands in town, will watch her, and it's kind of a very cool, inspiring thing.
Yeah, did anybody see her acoustic performance at Craft Lake City? I missed it.
I missed it too. I heard the members of Dark Seas were all watching her, and it's cool to see bands that are kind of newer and coming up watch someone like Rebecca and be really excited.
I agree.
To see an awesome performance like that.
I hope she inspires more women to get involved locally.
I saw that performance at Craft Lake City, and it was really good. The Young Guns were all there, and they enjoyed it as well. So if that's any indication of the acceptance of this music in a different genres, I think that's a really, really good sign. Anything else on that, guys?
I just want to say that this is probably my favorite album of the year, and maybe my favorite local album ever. I really think it's that strong. I think it's an amazing album, and I think that if people haven't heard it, they should hear it.
It's an album that we play a lot in the office, and since it's come out, it gets played a lot, and people will always come in and be like, what is this? And get really excited about it.
All right, thanks a lot, guys, for doing our first edition of the All Music episode with Slug staff. Do you guys want to go around really quickly and introduce yourselves and say what you do for Slug Magazine?
I'm Jeanette Moses, and I am the managing editor.
I'm Ricky Vigil. I'm the contributing editor.
Angela Brown, editor.
Esther Aronio, editorial assistant.
But you just say editor a lot.
And I've been JP, and I'm not an editor. And this has been another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground. Thanks for listening to Soundwaves from the Underground. For more information about the music, interviews, and guests from this episode, visit slugmag.com.
If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. Our show's theme and music was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Our main logo and art design was by T-Done, with technical design by Kate O'Connor and audio mastering from Andrew Glassett. Special thanks to Adam Sherlock and Eric Tomorrow for their help and support. Make sure you catch next week's episode when we do the rundown of the Spooktacular Alley Cat with Jemmy Sprankle, listen to new music from Jesus or Genome and Spell Talk, and hear an archived interview of Jimmy Martin with director of A Hobo with a Shotgun, Jason Eisner. We'll catch you next time.